Good morning.
Good morning.
We're into the last couple of weeks of Judges. And part of the hardest part of Judges right now with the things that they were doing. This is the second appendix, like we realized a couple weeks ago. They went through and we had, you know, the judges, and then all of a sudden we're going back with, you know, back to the beginning of the judges, back to the time when Joshua had just turned over the reins and the Israelites there. So they're important stories, but they didn't quite fit in the narrative at that point, so they got added at the end. Don't know why they did that, but they did. The writers did that.
One might suppose God knew what he was doing.
Well, why? Nothing to teach on here then.
That's a theme that's going to run through this too, you know.
Well, yeah, there's. So this is, you know, 19 through 21. This is the story of Micah. And was ninth chapter, and then Judges 17 and 18 is the first appendix, which relates most of the shocking episode of Israel's history. It occurred quite early because Phinehas, and it talks about that it was the grandson of Aaron, is still there, and that's in verse 28, which you're teaching next week, or Randy's teaching next week? Who's teaching next week? Jim's teaching next week, so he'll be talking about that, so about what we're going there with Aaron, Eleazar, and the priest. And because the tribes are still able to function as a unit, you know, they're still kind of working as a unit here, there's also a need for a long time span from the disgrace of the behavior of the time of Benjamin and the choice of the Benjamite Saul, you know, who, you know, eventually becomes the first king. And Saul also, that's in 1 Samuel 10:26, Saul also went to his house at Gibeah, and the valiant men whose hearts God had touched went with him. So Gibeah had a change of heart a little bit from where we're going to hear about with, well, last week with the Fred taught about with the hostile treatment towards the concubine and the Levite. So
this is not about Micah though.
17 and 18 were about Micah. This is about the Levite with his concubine and the retribution towards the concubine that was taken out, and towards the tribe of Benjamin and the town of Gibeah in direct. That's who they originally wanted to go with, just Gibeah, but the nation surrounded the town and said, no, we're going to take care of them. Jim, you want to read 1 through 7?
Then all the sons of Israel from Dan to Beersheba, including the land of Gilead, came out, and the congregation assembled as one man to the Lord at Mizpah. The chiefs of all the people, even all the tribes of Israel, took their stand in the assembly of the people of God, 400,000 foot soldiers who drew the sword. Now the sons of Benjamin heard that the sons of Israel had gone up to Mizpah, and the sons of Israel said, "Tell us, how did this wickedness take place?" So the Levite, the husband of the woman who was murdered, answered and said, "I came with my concubine to spend the night in Gibeah, which belongs to Benjamin. But the men of Gibeah rose up against me and surrounded the house at night because of me. They intended to kill me. Instead, they ravaged my concubine so that she died. And I took hold of my concubine and cut her in pieces and sent her throughout the land of Israel's inheritance, for they have committed a lewd and disgraceful act in Israel. Behold, all you sons of Israel, give your advice and counsel here."
So the story's a little bit different than chapter 19 gave us with what happened. Levite's version of the story has changed a little bit. We don't know exactly why. You know, sometimes some say he's exaggerated, some say, you know,
he lied.
I mean, but there's, depend upon your
he's
audience.
Off the rails anyway.
The whole story is, yeah.
Yeah.
But the nation reacted with a burning indignation. They were mad.
Yeah.
The nation as a whole came together. And the Israelites have been guilty of numerous sins since the Exodus. They did a lot of stupid stuff. But they had never done anything so repulsive as this. They needed to appraise the situation and then plan a course of action. The nation then came out as one man, even from the distant borders of Israel. So it wasn't just, you know, close, the people within, you know, earshot. Word went out. you know, well, I mean, you get a body part of the concubine showing up on your, you know, your town square, and what happened?
It caused people to talk.
Yeah. The Mizpah was an important religious center in the days of Samuel, and that was only a few miles from Gibeah, was the rallying center. So where they gathered together wasn't too far from Gibeah, where they're going to go in and ask for retribution. But what is different about this gathering of soldiers compared to previous battles and Judges? I mean, there's been a lot of battles, but what's different about this one?
Several things to me. One is that they're, all of the tribes are gathered.
Yeah.
All the tribes.
That hasn't been true since the days of Joshua.
Right.
Right. So even the guys that hung out on the east side of the river that didn't come into the promised land, they sent representatives.
And of course the other thing is, this is not a external enemy.
This is an internal.
It's not a Canaanite, and it's not a Moabite or Midianite coming
or
from outside.
Philistine or anything.
It's their own people.
Yeah.
Civil war.
Anything else?
Well, when they this time they gather on the trans in the trans Jordan.
I don't think it's that same Mizpah.
Oh,
that's my guess. They wouldn't. I don't think they would have gone there to come back here. I think it's just a common name. In fact, I've seen commentators say we're not sure where this Mizpah is.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's what I got. Is that, you know, when they talk about that, it was with where Gibeah was. It's not too far from Gibeah, so it wasn't like it was east of the river.
Well, Jephthah had a Mizpah in over on the other side. Yes.
You got anything, Randy? Okay.
Yeah.
Is the strong? You know, is the strong show of force good or bad for Benjamin's resolve? The tribe of Benjamin, is the strong show of force coming in, is that good or bad for Benjamin?
It would seem to be a bad bad sign for them that they should be very concerned about.
I think the first thing they should have said was, where are we standing with God on this issue? Why are we taking this issue of protecting the evil men of what, the city of
in Gibeah?
Gibeah. Well, is this really the cause that we're going to die for? That would be the first question. The second question is, do we even have a chance? This is all the other tribes against us.
Okay.
Well, that first question you raised is kind of the theme of Judges, is how many times do they ask God about anything?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, well, you've got people, the Israelites, the 11 to 1 ratio, basically, you know, or, you know, basically it was, you know, they had four, you know, 11 tribes to 1.
Well, by number, probably more like 20 to 1.
Right, but it was so they had 400,000 compared to the 26 to
26,
27.
26.
One number gave 26,700, but, you know, but about in between less than 30,000.
It is a sibling rivalry.
It is a sibling rivalry, but, you know, but.
So different dynamics come into play.
And how often do people. You know, when they says, "Well, did they really do that, or did they kill her, or did they? What's their story?" You know, the people that ravaged the concubine, they had a little fun with her. You know, he's the one. The Levite sent her out.
Yeah, but that's not the story he's telling here.
I know that. That's not the story.
But the question he's asking: what story did they tell the Benjamites?
Yeah. What story did?
Yeah.
I mean, I there's how many times growing up did we as kids not get in trouble for stealing the candy from the liquor store, but for lying about it. You know, but I didn't do that, Dad. What's that in your mouth? What do you mean? You know, is there, you know, that then that so? But the guilty people tend to tell a different story than what actually happened. Mm-hmm. So that's, you know, but they're like,
it's not there, but that's quite reasonable. Yes.
Yeah. well, why else would the tribe want to, Benjamin, want to stand up for people that ravaged a woman, you know, and left her for dead, all but dead?
Tribal loyalty, no matter what.
Yes, and that is a factor with these people here.
Sibling rivalry.
Okay, now, you had mentioned it, you know, what in the Levites' retelling of the events leading up to the assembly are accurate or misleading? You know, what things are accurate and what's misleading?
Well, he makes it sound like, I mean, he takes no responsibility for himself in here. Because when you go back and read the actual story, he threw her out there. I think the guy from Ephraim said, oh, you can have them, but he threw her out there. You know, it was here. I'm going to save my own skin here. You can have her. And he doesn't put it this way here.
Yeah.
You know, here it's they intended to kill me and they ravished her. I mean, he doesn't say anything about that.
There's nothing about them intending to kill him.
Yeah, right.
But he could be right. It does seem that they were targeting him.
They wanted to ravage him.
Yes.
He certainly could have feared for his life, so that in his eyes that was a legitimate thing to say.
And probably they didn't know him personally, so probably because identifying him as a Levite and being evil, they wanted to hit the man of God.
And it's hit the man of God, and the other thing is you know, how many evil people see somebody that they want that, you know, it's like, I went on a date with this famous person, you know, bragging rights.
Mm-hmm.
So those type of things are in there.
Of course, this does mirror one other incident in Scripture.
Are you talking about Genesis 19? Sodom?
Yes.
Yeah. That's what we talked about that last week.
I'm pretty sure that.
Yeah, this has happened before, but it wasn't Israelite on Israelite back then. That was before anything.
Mm-hmm. Right.
The Levites trying to.
But that's a good point. These Israelites know that story.
Yeah. Right.
Sodom has come here.
Yes.
But he quite possibly exaggerated the story, you know, with how his life was in danger to put himself in the best light.
Mm-hmm.
Israelite
don't do that, do they?
But the Israelite probably, you know, depending on how he told the story and how they heard it, he barely escaped into the house and they grabbed his concubine as he escaped for his life and got the door closed and he couldn't pull her in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because he left out that he put her out there. So, you know, they were after me. So he, you know, what the story is, you know, he possibly exaggerated, but he did put it to make himself look better. Then he explained his decision to dismember the concubine's dead body, lest the deed go unnoticed. He didn't want to have it be... He didn't want to let it go out and where they didn't know what was going, you know. This needs to stop. It's wrong. And one of the things I realize is, you know, he's married, but he still doesn't call him his wife. He still calls the concubine. And I wasn't able to find out why they... Why did they not call it, unless that she's not Israelite. So she couldn't be a full wife, is the only thing I can think of. That's it. I wasn't able to find
know,
it. We don't know. Yeah.
Wife, concubine, kind of. Well, she's a lesser wife.
Yeah.
Yeah, because in verse 4 here, it refers to the Levite as the husband of the woman. Mm-hmm. So.
Right.
Yeah.
But you know, they didn't. He didn't. He wanted to make sure that the lewd behavior that the man of Gibeah dished out, that they deserved swift and harsh punishment. And that's what he was looking for.
Yeah.
He's the center of attention now. He got what he wanted.
Yeah.
Yep.
And the Levite says in verse 7, "Behold, all you sons of Israel, give your advice and counsel here." Is that a wise comment? Is that a wise request?
He wants to stir things up.
Wants to stir things up.
He wants vengeance.
Yes. Wants vengeance?
Yes.
On its face, it certainly is a wise thing to say.
Because it's not putting it puts it on it diverts the attention from me, the Levite. You know, you guys all did the, it was all on you. You guys gave the counsel of what we need to do, so mm-hmm. that's what we need to do. So it relieves the burden off of him.
Oh, yeah.
So, but he's also pleading, give me a guilty verdict.
Mm-hmm.
You can see the prosecutor to the 12 jurors, this person did this. They need to pay for their crimes. You know, and they're trying to influence those. Randy, you want to read 8 through 16?
Then all the people arose as one man, saying, not one of us will go to his tent, nor will any of us return to his house. But now this is the thing which we will do to Gibeah. We will go up against it by lot. And we will take 10 men out of 100 throughout the tribes of Israel, and 100 out of 1,000, and 1,000 out of 10,000 to supply food for the people, that when they come to Gibeah of Benjamin, they may punish them for all the disgraceful acts that they have committed in Israel. Then all the men of Israel were gathered against the city, united as one man. Then the tribes of Israel Then the tribes of Israel sent men through the entire tribe of Benjamin, saying, what is this wickedness that has taken place among you? Now then, deliver up the men, the worthless fellows in Gibeah, that we may put them to death and remove this wickedness from Israel. But the sons of Benjamin would not listen to the voice of their brothers, the sons of Israel. The sons of Benjamin gathered from the cities to Gibeah, to go out to battle against the sons of Israel. From the cities on that day, the sons of Benjamin were numbered 26,000 men who drew the sword, besides the inhabitants of Gibeah who were numbered 700 choice men. Out of all these people, 700 choice men were left-handed. Each one could sling a stone at a hair and not miss.
The Levites, when they went forth and confronted them, actually was a positive one. You know, we just want to take action against the, however, because the number of men that ravaged the concubine
is the Levites.
Not the response to the Levites' plea was a positive one. You know, all of Israel resolved to take punitive action against Gibeah. They weren't wanting to wipe out the whole tribe of Benjamin. They weren't even wanting to wipe out the entire city of Gibeah. Put them in, you know who they are, bring them out here. You know, it's almost like, you know, we know in which countries who the leader of the gangs are. You know, who's responsible, you know, who's the El Guapo of that area. Send them out, we'll take care of them. And it's done. You know, send out all the guilty parties. But there's so many people are on the take, you know, in so many countries that we're not. No, if we give up our illegal drug trade, that you Americans are, you're bringing all that money's coming back into here, and you know they're building parks, they're taking their money. So you know they're lining my pockets as a politician. I'm not giving up my free ride here. You know, there's a reason. So no, we're going to stand behind them.
So life is complicated.
Yes. But you know the fact is that, you know, the Levites wanted, you know, the Israelites wanted God's will to be done. They that's what they wanted, and they said, we're going to cast lots. You know, who goes first? And that's in verse 18. That's going to be a little bit further on. But they sent out 10% of the troops were set apart to gather supplies in case of a lengthy campaign. So even though they knew they had 400,000 men going up to battle against 20,000 men, they went through and said, it could still be a campaign because we're going into a region we don't know. It's going to be a hilly region. You know, those people know that region. They know where the hiding spots where they can be up there and they can pick off, you know, one person up there. Because they said, a guy left-handed that can throw a rock and hit a hare and not miss. That's pretty accurate for a sharpshooter, so to speak. Mm-hmm. So they can take out many people by one. So we're gonna have a lot of casualties. But they also planned on, we're gonna take people to gather supplies, and we're, in case it is a long battle. We're hoping it's not, but it could be. But no effort was spared to deal with the vileness or disgraceful thing of the men of Gibeah. Yeah, that was, you know, last chapter in 19:23-24 talked about the vileness of them. And as originally intended, the anger of the nation was directed only against Gibeah. It wasn't intended against the whole tribe of Benjamin. But since Gibeah belonged to the tribe of Benjamin, the leaders of that tribe were of necessity involved. You know how many times is you even hear about, well, just the cartel and drug cartel that kidnapped the four or five Americans and ended up killing two of them. The cartel was like, we're sorry, that's not how we work. These five guys did it on their own. We've beaten them, we've tied them up, and we're delivering them for you to administer punishment as you guys see fit, because they went against our own code. But they took, you know.
And maybe the cartel realizes the power of the U.S. military
coming,
and doesn't want them blowing them up.
Right. Because, yeah. That's so,
and
it's like
Benjamin didn't take that option.
No, they we're going to fight for our guys because we think they're not, you know, what they did wasn't that bad. You know, that's not the whole, you know, that's not the whole story type deal.
One thing you were talking about with the corruption in the city was probably a factor. Another is that in a space like that, it isn't unlikely that with the men that were there, probably everybody in town had a relative involved.
You know, that was my cousin. You know, that was my favorite cousin. You know,
oh yes,
he's really not bad. He was led up by the other guys that he was with. And, you know, it was capital punishment for this crime was required, or it was a necessity for prescribed for the for that woman's being ravaged and died. But
which of course the Israelites were very stringent about applying.
Yeah. But then, you know, but rather than surrender the guilty men, the leaders of the tribe chose to be loyal to the town of Gibeah. You know, we're not going to let you wipe out our town. We're going to be there for them. What began as a punitive operation against one city now turned into a full-scale civil war. The men of Benjamin had a good reputation as excellent soldiers. So, you know, they had a reputation, so the Israelites going up against it, you know, were ready for this. And their prowess with the bow and the sling was well known. You know, that's in First Chronicles 8:40 and 12:2. They talk about those things. If many of the soldiers of Gibeah were among the elite left-handed, the slingers, one can understand why the whole tribe would be reluctant to hand them over without a battle. We don't want to give up our best warriors. Apparently, 700 slingers formed a unit within the army, much like the chariotry of the light infantry in 2 Kings and 2 Chronicles they talked about. And we also, earlier in Judges and Joshua, talked about, you know, with the chariots. Stones propelled at speeds up to 90 miles an hour were extremely effective. And you know, you see a guy get hit in the head with a, you know, 94 mile an hour fastball in baseball, and you know, that's a round sphere hits the helmet. You know, you get a smaller rock that has a sharp edge.
Well, we've got a classic example.
David and Goliath.
Yeah.
What biblical principles are the people of Israel displaying in verses 8 through 11?
Gathering the facts before action.
Yep. You know, not a man among us will go to his tent. No one will turn aside to his house. That means we're in this for the long haul. Mm-hmm. We're going to take care of it.
There was their unity as a people.
That's good too.
Yeah. Drawing of lots.
Seems kind of. Drawing of lots for, you know, seems so random though.
But back then, this was one of the ways that God spoke.
Yeah,
supposedly.
we don't know. We'll get that when we ask him. We can get there when we get there. We can ask him. But you know, you think about who's, you know, what's to say? You know, it's kind of like, you know, rolling with a loaded die. You know, it's weighted on one side, so seven. You know, got a loaded, you know, so it's there. But with lots, you know, God can do whatever He wants. So that the lot, you know, mm-hmm. the guy thinks, okay, I'm holding this one here. I'm not going to let you know, pick a card, Fred. No, not that one. And then you pick the one. Wait a minute, that's not the card I had in that position. You know, God can do whatever He wants. So. But, you know, the capital punishment is warranted. And as originally intended, the anger of the nation was directed only against Gibeah. They weren't just going to wipe out everybody. Since Gibeah belonged to the tribe of Benjamin, however, the leaders of that tribe were of necessity involved. Capital punishment was prescribed, and the Israelites confronted the Benjamites with the Mosaic passages from Deuteronomy 13:5, which is that prophet or that dreamer of dreams shall be put to death. You know, the person, you know, because he has counseled rebellion against the Lord your God, you brought him from the land of Egypt and redeemed you from the house of slavery to seduce you from the way in which the Lord your God commanded you to walk. You shall purge the evil from among you. You know, so they're using what we were told is, we want to purge the evil from this. And in 21:21 of Deuteronomy says, then all the men of his city shall stone him to death. You know, so you shall remove the evil from your midst. They wanted, the Israelites wanted the evil removed from their midst, so it doesn't make it. Now,
it is disheartening to see how evil it got before they decided to do that.
In some of the things, like the men that did the ravaging, were they pure? Were all of them Israelites? Were some of them Canaanites or Philistines, or who were there before them that didn't get purged? So had the Israelites purged the area, good chance this may not have happened. You know, we don't know exactly, but you know, it didn't happen, so we can't project that into it. But for, and this is the third time it says that, the in this chapter alone, that says they came together as one man. Yeah, they came together, were united in this.
This all sounds good.
Yeah. And the Israelites are knit together as a unit. You know, but which is way better than the days of Deborah and Barak, which actually occurs after this, chronologically, where they were fractured and they were fighting against each other. They weren't together as one unit. Question 6. Does the sequence of events of verses 12 through 16 hold any relevance to today's church and society?
I think there is a lack of this kind of unity and coming together, and a largely failure to recognize evil.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, some do, some don't. The disagreement, and why should we work together? We don't trust you. And,
yeah, our nation is very divided. And it has been for a while.
The nation and the church.
The church has had that division thing in it for a long time.
Well, the problem with the church, I think, though, is that the it tends to be sniping instead of uniting against something.
Mm-hmm.
But you know,
but it's the same kind of thing. You have people that are unified on certain things, but the other side is not feeling the same way. So you have division within unities.
Well, it's just in the last, you know, in the last 3 years, you know, you've had a, you know, George Floyd was a tragedy that he died. I'm not, you know, not going to hold that up. But, you know, when he was, George Floyd, when he was in Texas, ministered to the churches on a regular basis. You know, when you go to that neighborhood, you just let them know, I took, you know, I've got your back. And the gangs didn't mess with him as the churches that were ministering. Well, he got back, and, you know, when he moved back to Minneapolis, he got involved with the wrong crowds. And he was on drugs when he died that day. Had he complied with the cops, he would be alive. But now people are, justice for George Floyd, and we need to take care of it. How many people, you need to defund the police, you need to do all this. Well, now these people, said, you know, 3 years ago said defund the police. They're like, you don't have enough police officers in my neighborhood. So it's bad. And in, you know, in high school, how many times were the bullies, because they're popular with everybody, able to get away with offenses for picking on somebody? And when the person they've been picking on and ridiculing for months or years snaps back, pops them in the nose and gives them bloody nose, the kid that's been picked on for 10 years gets suspended or expelled, and the guy that's been picking on them for, because nobody wanted to mess with them, you know, they get away with it. Same type of thing. And in the church, how many times have they just take a pastor or the priest and, oh, there's accusations here, move them away to a different parish? And it's happened in even the Southern Baptist Convention, where all of a sudden things came up that there was a lot of things going wrong, and they just brush it under the rug and don't let it, you know, don't bring it up because we don't want to look bad. So you need to put bad things happen, need to do it and deal with it. But we don't like doing that as people because it makes us look bad in other people's eyes.
This has to do with sexual sin, and when it comes to sexual sin, some churches embrace it, support it, some churches condemn it, and many churches, well, we don't want to touch the subject.
Mm-hmm.
Where can you find unity?
Yeah. There isn't any, or there is a lack of, mm-hmm. I should say.
Yeah. Who'd like to read 17 through
23? Let me help me.
Okay. Get a question.
Things a little organized, because the Levite stayed at a Benjamite's house.
Yeah, in Gibeah. He was in the square, and the old farmer said, don't stay here. Bad things will happen.
Right.
We're going to take you home.
Stayed with the Benjamites.
Right.
Well,
technically,
as an old man who was not a Benjamite invited him in.
But he was in. But he lived in a Benjamite city.
Okay.
He lived in Gibeah, which is a Benjamite city.
So the men who came and committed the atrocities are possibly Israelites, or we don't know who they were.
We don't know. They're quite possibly, but we knew they were Gibeonite. They were from Gibeah.
And everything we have here says they are men of Benjamin. They are wicked men of Benjamin.
Okay, so next morning, the Levite chops her up, sends her parts out to several factions, 12.
Yeah.
And coming back to get involved and start a war with the Benjamites are the Israelites, the men of Gibeah.
The men of Israelites are going against the men of Gibeah. Benjamites are protecting.
Oh, Benjamites and Gibeah
are one and the same.
Are one and the same.
All Gibeans are Benjamites, but all Benjamites are Gibeans. So, Gibeah is the little brother. The Benjamites are the older brothers. We're going to protect our little brother.
Okay.
Hayward was in California.
Right.
Some evil men of Hayward do a horrible thing, and all of California defends him. That's what's going on here. Actually, they viewed her all night, and he picks her up, puts her on the donkey, and goes home. Then he cuts her up there.
She was alive when he put her on the horse.
We don't know that.
He's covering
up his part of it, but the basic elements are true. The evil men of Benjamin came and attacked because of him, and they raped and abused her all night instead.
So just to go a little further back, because I missed the week when Micah had stuff to himself. He had
idols and stuff.
Idols and
yeah,
stuff.
Two totally separate stories. They don't. These are totally different. There's nothing correlated except that they happen.
I was wondering where the Levite came in after.
This is not the same Levite.
Okay.
This is not the same. Most likely, this is not
the
same.
So the week I missed, we closed the chapter of Micah.
Yeah.
And began the Levite. Okay.
Yeah.
What happened with Micah? Just in a quick wrap up.
That was basically they took him from the tribe of Dan, and they took his stuff, and he was, that's all, that's, we don't know.
Okay.
We
right.
don't know whether he regained prosperity or anything. We don't know.
Okay. Thank you
yeah.
for wrapping that up.
So yeah, this is a different. Most likely, this is a different Levite.
So how many factions do we have coming back against?
You have the 11 tribes are united, coming against. They wanted to just go to Gibeah and take out the 15-20 men that ravaged the concubine and deal with them. Done. Gibeah said, "Is no, we're not going to give up our guys. We know them. There are, you know, they really didn't do that. We're not giving them up." Hey, other, you know, hey,
so the 15 to 20 tribes are numbering 26,000.
No, that's not tribes. You have 11. You have the 11 tribes of Judah, okay. or of Israel, against the one, and then you have for Gibeah, it would be like, okay, the city of Hayward, you know, hey, Union City, Fremont, Santa Clara, Sacramento, Redding, come down here. We need your help. The rest of California, Nevada's coming in here, and the rest of the states are coming against us, and they're attacking us for no real reason.
49 states.
Yeah, 49
California.
Against California.
He said 15 to 20. He was talking about. He was giving an estimate
of how many men
came to
and ravaged the concubine. That was my.
It doesn't.
So what happened to the wife?
The
virgin daughter.
She didn't go out. They didn't put her out.
Oh, she didn't even go out.
She didn't go. It's not say, it doesn't say that she went out. It just said that he threw out. The Levite tossed out his concubine and said, "Take her and close the door."
Okay, I thought they both went out.
The farmer offered both of them.
Okay.
The Levite only put his wife out there.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Because this is confusing.
17 to what?
23.
Now, besides Benjamin, the men of Israel numbered 400,000 men who drew the sword. All of these were men of war. Then the children of Israel arose and went up to the house of God to inquire of God. They said, "Which of us shall go up first to battle against the children of Benjamin?" The Lord said, "Judah first." So the children of Israel rose in the morning and encamped against Gibeah. And the men of Israel went out to battle against Benjamin, and the men of Israel put themselves in battle array to fight against them at Gibeah. Then the children of Benjamin came out of Gibeah, and on that day cut down to the ground 22,000 men of the Israelites. And the people, that is, the men of Israel, encouraged themselves and again formed a battle line at the place where they had put themselves in array on the first day. Then the children of Israel went up and wept before the Lord until evening and asked counsel of the Lord, saying, "Shall I again draw near for battle against the children of my brother Benjamin?" And the Lord said, "Go up against him."
Okay, so the forces of Israel comprised a powerful army, and it was the largest the nation had ever assembled, in verse 2. The nation sought guidance from God. Verse 1, and the Lord directed that the prominent tribe of Judah should lead the way, which is Judah here. And in Numbers 2:9 it says Gibeah's proximity to the territory of Judah ensured familiarity with the terrain. So Judah knew the area, so that's why they were sent first. You guys know what the terrain's like there. Stake it out. It would be like, okay, if you're coming into this area here, it's like, you know, you guys are the area, you know what it's like near Hayward, so you go ahead and stake it out first. But the mention of Bethel poses a problem since the tabernacle was located at Shiloh. Bethel has been in 1831, but Bethel has been a revered location ever since the Lord revealed himself to Jacob at that site. So, like in Mizpah, Bethel could have been one of several suitable holy places. It's possible. The Ark of the Covenant may have been moved from Shiloh to Bethel to be near to the scene of the battle. So they may have, let's take the Ark with us. We're going into battle, let's take the Ark. And that would have had where Phinehas stayed, was the high priest, and he stayed with the Ark. It is possible to inquire of the Lord wherever Phinehas happened to be. So they were going to the high priest to
they
get
would,
counsel.
They would do that when we get into Samuel. They would do that. They would take the Ark out.
Let's take it with us.
Yeah. Because that represents the presence of God, and therefore we're going to bring the presence of God into the battle.
That's all good, but did you hear me read Bethel? No, because in New King James, it is, they went up to the house of God, which is the word Bethel.
Okay.
So the possibility comes up in the translation. Is it a proper name or not?
Bethel.
Yes. House of God, or is it Bethel? And there again, which Bethel is, and where is Phinehas?
Yeah, but they probably, Phinehas went with, most likely went with the ark, and they're camped out, mm-hmm. not in the middle of the battle, but to the outskirts where they're in a safe area. So, verse 18, the children of Israel rose, went to Bethel, or the house of God, and asked God who would go up to first wage war against the Benjamites. It was the request of verse 18 done at the right time. Yeah, did they do this at the right time?
Well, they did it before the battle.
Okay.
That's a good thing, before the battle.
Yeah.
One might wonder, could they have asked before they assembled their armies and appeared to know what they wanted to do anyway?
Yeah.
Yeah, did they just...
That was one of the things I thought.
The choice of question, I mean, it's practical, but you would think if they were going to inquire of God, they might go a little deeper.
Yeah, are we even supposed to be going against them? You know, it's, I'm doing something I'm not supposed to be doing, so let me pray to God and ask if I'm doing the right thing. And I heard from God, he didn't say not to. So... but it would appear to be that they consulted with Phinehas and as such with God. And the caveat is that they didn't have a successful battle. I mean, they did. They got what? Yeah, 26,000 Benjamites killed 22,000 men of Israel. It doesn't say there was any deaths on the Benjamin side. I mean, there probably was, but that was still, they were ripped. And there were two.
I wondered. Maybe they should have pulled back earlier when they realized that they were at a tactical disadvantage.
Yeah, we might need to sit back a little bit, right?
Mm-hmm. But we were told to go up, and yes. We were gonna.
Yeah, they were.
When you know that God's on your side,
yeah.
You just go.
And they were, they're probably a little bit too self-confident.
Mm-hmm.
And even though they consulted God, we consulted God, but did they rely on their own abilities over God delivering them a win? I know it is a cliche, but maybe it was God. God had a plan for them to be defeated. That might have been God's plan. We don't know.
I'm guessing we're going to talk more about this next week. But this whole question about did God send them to their doom? Did God make a mistake? All is kind of wrapped up. And why did this happen to me?
Yeah.
The AI? Big topic.
I apologize.
But what do you feel is the reason for the sons of Benjamin having a successful first battle against the men of Israel? Why did they have a successful?
Well, one might guess. If Judah is going up first instead of all 11, they must have had a narrow field where their numerical advantage wasn't an advantage.
Yeah, it was. Going into a valley.
Yes.
Most likely it was. And, boom, 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 boom. So they had to...
And against the ferocity and accuracy of Benjamin, I could see why their numbers wouldn't help them.
Yeah. The last question is, why does the writer convey that the sons of Israel wept before the Lord? And, is this relevant for today's church and our relationship?
Let me back up for a minute.
First.
Okay. Is to have them go up and run into this as they're watching their numbers go down. This is also going to be very disillusioning to them. It's going to break their confidence. It's going to all that kind of stuff, and that's also going to impact them also. So anyway.
Yeah. It was a humbling experience for them.
Oh yeah.
Well, it's like how long did the battles, over in Afghanistan and that where they go through and you hear, the Russian-Ukraine conflict, they keep battling back. It's like, well, wait a minute. What's going on here?
should have just been able to mow them down.
Should have been, but they can't. Mm-hmm. But you know, but why does the writer convey that the sons of Israel wept before the Lord?
Because they lost.
Yes.
Because they lost?
Yeah.
You know, it's it they lost, and it shows that they okay, now what do we need to do? I think it brought clarity to them because they weren't so self-confident. They weren't so assured of themselves that we're going to be able to do this on our own. They were there.
I think they'll need another lesson, but that next week.
Yeah. No, I'm sure they are. It's, you know, they are, you know, just like us today, you know. But the good thing is God lets us keep retaking tests.
Mm-hmm.
Until we get it right.
Let's hope they're not as costly.
Yeah. In our lives as personal too. Okay. Jim's teaching, he'll finish up the chapter next week. And we'll see how we go. Lord, we thank you for today. We thank you for loving us so much. Thank you for these reminders that we need to rely on you to give you the chance to show your will for our lives, the chance for you to have victory over our battles. Thank you, Lord, for just blessing us so much. It's in your precious name we pray. Amen.